Today on CityCast Houston. Coffee City, Texas was just another small town in Texas until last summer when news headlines like this began flooding in.
Top story tonight, a Cage Who You Love investigation leads to criminal charges against a former police chief.
A grand jury has indicted two more former officers of the disbanded Coffee City Police Department. Another former Coffee City police officer is indicted after a KHOU 11 investigation triggered the shutdown of the entire department.
The story of troubled police officers, many from the Houston area, quickly went from deception to indictments. KHOU investigative reporter Jeremy Rogowski joins me to explain how he uncovered this massive ring of corruption and why it should matter to every listener. It's Thursday, April 4th. I'm Rahil Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Jeremy, welcome into CityCast Houston. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rahil? Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. And this is an interesting story. You've been uncovering what's been happening here at Coffee City, which is just a couple of hours away from Houston. Can you give us a quick breakdown, just a high-level overview of what exactly is happening and why this is important?
So I think this story, a series of stories in a nutshell, comes down to one sentence. A town of 250 people had 50 police officers. Do the math. 250 people, 50 cops. That's one officer for every five residents, more or less. And that really transcends geography. It doesn't matter if it's 3 hours north of Houston or pick a place, USA. 50 cops in a town of 250 people. That should raise red flags. It did for us, and that's what sent us down this road.
How did we get there? Like, what exactly happened where this many cops for that few residents spiked? What happened?
The story came to us from a longtime law enforcement source who said, you got to look at this place. It's this tiny town in the middle of nowhere. It's a one-road town. I had never heard of Coffee City. I got to be honest with you. And I'm like, okay, this is a guy I've worked with for years. I'm like, what's up? He's like, well, this other department just fired this officer for a lot of reasons, a troubled, problematic officer. And this chief at Coffee City wound up hiring him a couple weeks later. What gives? And so that kind of, you know, that was the breadcrumb trail, if you will, that initially we followed. And then we just dove deep into it. And to answer your question, how did this town get so many officers? It hired a police chief who kept hiring them and hiring them and hiring them. And the question was why?
Okay, let's talk about that, because this chief, John J. Portillo, who was sworn in 2021 and is actually, you know, from Houston, has Houston ties, was part of the Harris County Precinct 3 Constables Department right before all this went down. Why did he start hiring so many officers for 250 residents?
So if you ask John J. Portillo, he says, hey, we wanted 24/7 coverage for this small town. We wanted to protect the citizens. And on the surface, perhaps. He said, it also allows us, if we have a full-time round-the-clock department, to apply for grants and funding, whether at the state level or the federal level. And I'm not sure anybody buys that, because at the end of the day, do you really need 50 cops for a town of 250? The bigger question is, okay, what was really going on? The pattern that we found was that these were cops with troubled histories. These were guys who could not get a job anywhere else. So they picked up the phone, they called their buddy JP, as he's known, and they said, hey, do you have something for me? And he said, yes. And he said, yes. And he said, yes. And he kept saying yes. And so the question again is why? We asked him several times, hey, did you get a cut? I'll give you a job, either as a full-timer or as reserve. And when you go out and work extra jobs, maybe you give me a few bucks an hour of your pay. Of course, he denied that, and we could never prove that. Now, the town made a lot of money. This was a ticket-writing town. This was, if you ask anybody who's ever driven through Coffee City, Texas, they will tell you in a heartbeat it was a speed trap. And records prove that out. They made more than $1 million in court fines and fees from writing tickets in 1 year alone, the most of any comparable sized town in the entire state of Texas. And we are a big state. And so, yes, money was flowing into the city coffers, and it appeared that city council members just kind of went with the flow and didn't ask too many questions. But at the end of the day, they didn't know who was wearing their badge and carrying their guns and wearing the uniform, and that's the real problem.
Okay, so outside looking in, I'm like, okay, there's something shady going on for sure, right? But another side of me is thinking, is this a story of officers who needed a second chance?
Well, in our interview, and we did interview then Chief Portillo for nearly an hour, and he said, yes, we do believe in second opportunities. Mm-hmm. And he took the posture of, listen, a lot of these guys who on paper may have been suspended, demoted, terminated, dishonorably discharged, they got, in his words, railroaded. They were a victim of department politics, as he put it. And in fact, if you look at then Chief Portillo's history, he previously got fired from a job, appealed, won his appeal, sued that agency. And so he's kind of a product of what he is claiming is a railroading or a victim of politics. So perhaps, and only John J. Portillo can speak for himself, of course, but perhaps he was trying to give back the opportunity that he thought wasn't afforded him. But I've been a journalist a long time, and there's an old adage, always follow the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, is this some sort of Robin Hood benevolence, you know, charity move on the part of John J. Portillo, or is something else going on?
So how did this all blow up? Because there's money flowing in, over $1 million in tickets, right? City council's like, hey, this is kind of nice. We're getting more money. I'm sure the city felt safer as well, or the town felt safer. How did this all blow up? How did this all end? Because currently, JP's no longer there, right?
So we did our initial story at the end of August last year. And we laid out that more than half of those 50 officers had serious disciplinary pass at their previous law enforcement jobs for things like excessive force, for things like untruthfulness. In some cases, they were criminally charged, arrested for things like theft or DWI or family violence and the like. We just really shined a light on that. You know, Chief Portillo made his own bed. We just pulled back the sheets, if you will. And so we laid all this out in a three-part series. And 2 weeks after that first part aired, City Council had a meeting. And they not only fired the chief, they disbanded the entire department.
The entire police department. They just shut it down.
They shut it down. They disbanded it. They called on the local sheriff in Henderson County, Texas, to say, can you help us with patrols and calls for service? Can you respond to 911 calls? The sheriff said, yes, we'll move some manpower around to cover your area. And to this day, they still, Coffee City does not have a police force. And when you talk to the mayor, Jeff Blackstone, he says it's for the better, because if they're going to relaunch, in his words, the police force, they want to do it from scratch and do it the right way.
So of the officers who had serious misconduct on their resume, right? How did they get rehired? Is there not a government entity that says, hey, you can no longer serve as an officer, right? Like, you cannot protect our citizens because of this. Why is there no checks and balances there?
We do in Texas, some call it the Texas two-step. So the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, or TCOL, as the acronym is the state agency that licenses peace officers. And they're in charge of things like making sure you have the proper training and go through your coursework and so on and so forth. Well, in Texas, as it turns out, and there are some changes underway, but in Texas, it's the local department, the local jurisdiction that makes the call and has the authority to hire and to fire. The state, when you're talking about non-criminal misconduct, the state of Texas, TCO, really can't do anything. They can do more if you don't get your 40 hours of required training every 2 years than they can if you repeatedly lied and were fired or used excessive force and got disciplined for that. But you can only be a cop in Texas, one, if you're in good standing with TCO, but then you have to get commissioned or appointed by an agency. So you can't be a working cop unless somebody commissions, appoints, or perhaps sponsors is another way to look at it, your peace officer license. So what Coffee City was doing is they were commissioning or appointing these cops, and most of them were reserves. And not to go off on a tangent, but why would they hire all these reserves? Well, in Texas, you can work extra jobs, and that's where the real money comes in, Raheel. You can work traffic control, downtown office building during rush hour. You can work a construction site, and you can make 50 or 60 bucks an hour. Then Chief Portillo readily admitted some of these guys are making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year working extra jobs. So at a minimum, there was a tit for tat. I, troubled officer, gets hired at Coffee City as a reserve. I volunteer one or two shifts a month, and I get to be a cop to do extra jobs and make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year.
That is wild. I had no idea it was that much money involved in just working these side gigs. And were they working them in Coffee City, surrounding areas? Where were these extra jobs being worked by these reserve officers?
Well, that's the kicker. So Coffee City had what was known as a, quote, warrant division, and I put that in air quotes, because these warrant officers, their duties were to round up and make calls, not like bang down the door roundup that you might think of a warrant division, but they were to make calls to people who had outstanding court fines and fees. The deal with that was, as we exposed, is these warrant officers for Coffee City weren't even required to work in Coffee City. They worked from home, and they were all from Houston, Harris County. And they were, quote, full-time officers. That full-time commission allows, in the state of Texas, you not only to do traffic control, but it allows you to do extra jobs in a police capacity. So they were working security for apartment complexes and whatnot. And those jobs pay even more than the kind of traffic control jobs you might see at an event or a church on Sunday sort of thing. So there's a lot of issues going on in the state of Texas. There's a new bill that became law that hopes to narrow and clamp down on this so-called wandering officer problem.
Let's talk about the wandering officers and what that means. And, you know, my next question is, what is being done? And you're kind of hinting at this to stop this from happening again, right? Because this is madness. This is insane. And this could happen anywhere now.
Sure. So a wandering officer sometimes is known as a suitcase cop or a hopscotcher. And essentially, it is what it sounds like. They go from department to department to department. They get in trouble at one. They get let go. They get picked up at another. They perhaps let go. We know of a guy who had 24 jobs in 22 years. Now, I don't know how long you've been doing what you've done. I've been a journalist for 34 years. I've had three jobs in my life. I'm probably an outlier. But the point being is, unless you're in the Army and getting moved from location to location, 24 jobs in 22 years probably should raise a red flag. And so the problem was, and what the state legislature is trying to fix, is that Agency A wouldn't always talk to Agency B. And so a lot of times a cop would get in trouble and they'd say, you know what? We don't want to deal with you. We're just going to give you an honorable discharge and send you on your way. And when they did this, Agency A wouldn't always complete an internal affairs investigation. So that cop applies at Agency B, And they look at his file and, well, there was an allegation, but there wasn't any investigation, and he got an honorable discharge. So on paper, things look okay. The problem was that doesn't do the community any good, because here you have a cop with a troubled past who bounces around from place to place to place and statistically oftentimes gets in trouble again.
That's crazy that normal civilian jobs, like the one that I'm doing, like the one you're doing, when we apply for a different job, there's more background checks, it seems like, more investigation into your previous jobs than for officers. That's wild.
So I should mention, Raheel, after our story aired, not only did the chief get fired, not only did the city council disband the department, the district attorney stepped in. And to date, there's been 7 indictments of former Coffee City officers. And the obvious question is, what were they indicted for? Tampering with a government document was the charge for nearly all of these 7 indicted former Coffee City officers. And the reason they were charged with that is they lied, or allegedly lied, on their job application. And that is an official government document. It's called a personal history statement. And for anybody in any job who's ever filled out an application, there are those, you know, questions. Have you ever been arrested? Have you ever been detained? Have you ever been disciplined from your job? Have you ever been terminated from your job? If so, please explain. And the allegations against these former cops are they weren't forthright on those job applications. And now they're facing second-degree felonies and potential jail time for that. We'll see how those cases play out.
Yeah, what is the latest on those cases? Are we just waiting now to see if they go to trial or what?
They're in the infancy of their proceedings. Most of them have been arraigned, and they're just on the court docket, and that process is playing out. It'll be some months before we know, unless, of course, there you know, is a plea deal to be made, and there's no news on that just yet.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's popping. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived. Okay, so let's talk about this chief a little more. I know you sat down with him and got the chance to talk to him. What was that like? What kinds of things did you find out?
So after we did all our research and did our homework, it was time for the interview. And surprisingly, John J. Portillo sat down, and he sat down for nearly an hour. And we went through everything about his hiring philosophy and him giving people second chances and why he thought a lot of these guys had been, quote, railroaded or, quote, victims of department politics. And then we talked about Portillo himself. And we had a surprise. We had done our homework so much that we had found an open arrest warrant for DWI that this police chief had some years back out of the state of Florida. And by the way, he did not disclose that, we later found out, on his job application to become chief. And that's what later got him indicted for tampering with a government record. But we asked Portillo, "Chief, what about this DWI case that you never resolved? Why wouldn't you disclose that, Chief?"
"Didn't disclose. It was over 10 years ago.
You had an active warrant."
"Huh? That was disposed of. I mean, but that's not what it is. I'm not being truthful.
You forgot?
I put down everything that was in my mind when I filled out my application to the best of my knowledge.
Under the state of Texas rules, when you fill out a job application, it clearly states, this is under oath. This is an official document. Being untruthful can be punishable as a crime. And by the way, the kicker to all of this is the day after we did the interview, we looked online at those Bay County, Florida court records, and he lawyered up, and his lawyer actually submitted an appearance, and he was handling that case.
That is unbelievable. I feel like we could do a whole episode just on JP. Now, that wasn't the only dirt you found on them. I heard there was a crazy body cam video as well. Tell me how you found out about that.
I have a lot of law enforcement sources in Harris County. Again, this was a guy who's from Houston, Harris County. So after we started filing records requests and getting these personnel files, I got some calls. And one of them was, you got to look at this body camera video. And I said, okay, what's it about? And John J. Portillo was working an extra job at a apartment complex in Southeast Houston in a pretty shady area of town. And there was an incident where he was claiming he was chasing a suspect who had vandalized one of the apartment units. And they got in a scuffle and he wanted to file charges, John J. Portillo did. Well, John J. Portillo wasn't plugged into the Harris County system. He's a Coffee City cop who's 3 hours from his jurisdiction, and he really couldn't file charges. So he picked up the phone and asked the local constable to come out and file charges on the suspect. And they came out, and the whole thing was on body camera. And one of the deputy constables says, sir, I'm sorry, I've been instructed by my boss, we're not going to assist you in filing charges. If you want to file charges, you got to go do so directly through the DA's office. And instead of being professional, then Chief John J. Portillo launched at this low-level deputy constable. I'm talking F-bombs left and right. A profanity-laced tirade against not only the department, the elected constable.
I'm about to call Garcia and tell him he's going to be f***ing next election. I'll call Garcia right now. Tell his he's a f***ing or his train of command.
You know, police officers from agency to agency, they got to be able to work together in a professional manner. And it just speaks to the character and the integrity or lack thereof of this chief who was running essentially what some call his own little fiefdom in this tiny town.
Is that the real John J. Portillo that people are seeing in this video?
No, I don't just go off the handle.
Well, you did hear.
Yeah, because I got socked in the face. I was mad. I was red, and I was upset because they wouldn't, you know, help me file the charges.
So, what is JP up to now? Is he working somewhere? What do we know about him?
So, according to the latest information I have from the state, is not a working peace officer. After he was fired, he actually threw his hat in the ring to be constable of one of the constable offices in Harris County, Precinct 3 on the east side of Houston, Harris County. Well, we had an election and he handedly lost. So in terms of peace officer duties, Portillo's on the sidelines as far as I know.
So let's talk about the residents of Coffee City. How are they dealing with all of this and the madness that came after y'all ran the stories in the series? What are they thinking about all this?
Most of them applauded our journalistic efforts because for so long they felt, the majority of them, that they were hounded and harassed. And when their friends came into town, they were also harassed. I mean, you know, don't go 2 miles over the speed limit in Coffee City unless you want to pay a hefty fine. Coffee City sits on a rather pretty lake, Lake Palestine, up in Henderson County, and it has some weekend boating and you know, pleasure activities and whatnot. So they do get a certain amount of local tourist traffic. But yeah, the word was don't speed there or you'll get a ticket. And so most of them applauded. There were some who said, hey, we're concerned that if we dial the phone for police help, our response time is going to go down because we don't have this show of force. We're now relying on the local sheriff's department, who is further away and may not have the dedicated resources. But overall, it was a very positive reaction. And I will also say, listen, this series got nearly 7 million YouTube views. I've been doing this for 33 years. I never had such a story get such a reaction so quickly. People reached out to us from literally Australia to England to everywhere in Texas. And here's the thing I want to point out is we had a lot of law enforcement reach out. And I was ready for some backlash. I was ready for people say, ah, there you go again, you media, you know, painting the men and women in blue with a bad brush, and you're all going to give us a black eye, et cetera, et cetera. Quite to the contrary. I would say 98-99% of everybody who texted, emailed, responded on social media, who was working law enforcement or retired law enforcement, said, thank you. Thank you, KHOU, for exposing this. Because even though these are just a few bad apples, and I really do think they are in the great scheme of things, I think this is, you know, the 1 or 2% bad apples. But those give law enforcement overall a bad name. And we don't need them in our profession. That was collectively the resounding theme. And that makes me feel like our job as journalists was one that was well done, because we shine a light on an issue and it's affecting change. And that's why we do what we do.
That's perfectly said. That's the perfect way to end this interview. It's a fascinating story with some fascinating results. And it's also a look at what can be done with journalism, right? There can be changes made when you shine light on issues like this. So bravo, Jeremy. That was a blast to learn about and, you know, dive deep into this. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Jeremy Rogowski. You can keep up with all of his work with the links in our show notes. Hey, our live taping is tomorrow before the Rockets versus Heat game at 5:30 p.m. So if you are coming to that, we've emailed you some instructions and a pass to get in for that live taping at 5:30 p.m. Just check the email that you bought your tickets with. If you have any questions, please email us with the information in our show notes. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new.
But anyway, I'm rambling here. Go ahead.